we're starting. Okay, so you fill in these parts.
All right. My name is Valerie. I am 11 years old. Today is November 24th, and I'm speaking with my great-grandpa, who is...
What's his name?
His name is Eddie...
Goldstein?
Eddie Goldstein, yes.
And where does he live?
And we are in...
We could say Chicago, Illinois.
Where's Chicago?
So. All right.
Yeah. So, do you know the story of why our ancestors came to this country?
I can.
Say it again.
Say it again.
Do you know the story of why and how our ancestors came to this country?
Well, most Jews that lived in Europe, like in Russia, Romania, Poland, they were very discriminated against. And it was difficult to make a living there and to raise children in a normal fashion. So it all started with just a few leaving to go to the United States, and before it was over, it was just hundreds of thousands of Jews migrated to the United States. I guess it started like in the 1800s, but there was a big influx right around the time of World War I, which is in 1914, 1915, and certainly before World War II, there was a huge influx. And then Hitler took over in the 1940s, and then he made short work of that. He tried to eliminate through camps and concentration camps all the people that were Jewish.
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
What was that?
Say it again.
Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
Well, I'm very fortunate. I had a very good childhood. I had two, and still have two brothers. One is my twin brother, and the other one is 2 years younger than the both of us. Our mother was very understanding of us, but we lived in an area of mostly Jewish kids. We went to Hebrew school, but we went to regular school, and we played a lot of sports, a lot of baseball, basketball, and football. And in addition to the grammar schools that were in the neighborhood, we had high schools, we had places that had these gyms that you could do all these things. We had. So I would say we lived a very happy childhood.
Mm.
And we were made a lot of good friends.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. All right. When were you in the military, and which branch did you serve in?
I was in the military drafted March 15th, 1945. World War II was still on. Mm-hmm. And I served until November 20th, 1946. Basically, I came in at the tail end of World War II in Europe, and when my training was over, the war in Germany was already over, conquering Germany. And while I was on my furlough after the training, the U.S. dropped the atomic bomb on Japan. So basically, when my training was over, the war was virtually over. The Japanese war, they weren't so certain it would be over that quickly, so they sent troops for special training that they used to call cave cracking, where you would raid the caves to look for Japanese soldiers that were still holding out. That's what they trained us to do, but after about 4 or 5 weeks, they saw that wouldn't be necessary because the Japanese soldiers all surrendered and gave in, mm-hmm. and so on. So mm-hmm. what took place then, from the time when I was on furlough in August, when they dropped the atomic bomb, until I finished the training and I got to Japan. I got to Japan in October of 1945 and served there for almost a year. The reason that Japan gave in so easily is, number one, they recognized that their whole country would be destroyed if they didn't. But secondly, the general in charge, General MacArthur, we've heard, played it very, I would say, gentlemanly with the emperor. And he realized that the people, even though they were led by generals and they did all these terrible things, they just adored and loved their emperor. So what MacArthur did is he recognized the emperor and his height and so on. And after that, it was just all over with. And I remember one time walking in Tokyo, and I had an American newspaper, Stars and Stripes, they called it, on the front page, a big photo of the emperor. And I showed it to some of the Japanese people walking. They turned away, almost as if I was showing them a god and the sun was shining.
Oh.
So MacArthur laid out a wonderful strategy. And he was the same general that conquered the Philippines and all the other islands. Am I being recorded?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know all this, so
okay.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. All right. Share me the story of how you and Bubby met. Yeah.
Well, let's see. We met. I was still in the service, the tail end of the service, and a friend of mine from the service and I had heard about a party that there were a lot of girls our age, you know, 18, 19 years old, and we decided to crash the party. And in those days, if you were in the service, you had to wear your uniform all the time, even when you were on furlough. So we crashed the party, and Bubby used to be the president of a whole group of girls. And yeah, we did our dancing and all that kind of stuff. And then at the very end, when we were ready to leave, Bubby's mother came up to me and said, "Here's a bag with corned beef sandwiches in it, so you won't be hungry if they don't feed you right away." And she said, she looked at me very seriously, and she said, "I'd make a good mother-in-law, wouldn't I?" So that was the beginning. But then I went back for a couple of months. Then when I came back, it was in November of 46, we began kind of somewhat seeing each other. And this is kind of interesting. I said to her, "I would like to go steady with you, and you'd be my steady girlfriend, I'd be your steady boyfriend." So she said, "Oh," and this was like in November, December. She said, "You know, I have a date for New Year's Eve. So I'll just tell him I can't go. I have to break the date." So I said, "No, don't do it. You go on a date with him." Then the following day, January 1st of 1947, you and I will start going together. So as it turned out, at the big New Year's party that they were all having, he drank too much and he was just out of it the whole evening. So she didn't even have a time to commingle with him. Or she mingled with the other people. And then January 1st, 1947 became our official time that we started going together. And our first date was to see a Jewish play at a Jewish theater on the west side where we live.
Good story. That's great.
So
this is Bipa.
So what was Bipa like when he was growing up? Do you have any favorite stories about him?
So she's asking about her grandfather, my father. So Wayne, what was he like growing up?
Mm-hmm.
From your perspective, what was your son Wayne like growing up?
What was Wayne like?
Yeah.
Well, Wayne, of course, was our oldest, was our number one child. He, we had a couple of miscarriages before Wayne was born, but finally we're fortunate he was born, and he was very important to us, and we wanted to make sure that whatever he wanted, we would make available. And of course, even in those days, our purpose was to send him to school to become well educated, and then to choose a profession.
Which he did.
And your Viva, don't you?
Viva.
He's actually a year and a half older than Barbara.
Mm.
And Barbara is a year and a half older than Auntie Gail.
Mm-hmm.
But Gail is 4 years older. And the reason we had them close together, because since we had trouble having been able to have a first child, and the minute that took place, we wanted children. And then the reason Auntie Gail and Neil are 4 years apart, because we were thinking ahead of going to college. Mm. They were just being born.
Mm. Spread them out. Interesting. Two more questions. Okay. You can read the first one.
All right, so can you tell me about a historic event that had an impact on your life?
Such as
World War II, the Holocaust, the Korean War, the Civil Rights Movements, the assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
But I didn't catch that.
So she's just saying, is there any historic event that had an impact on your life? And she's suggesting like World War II, the Holocaust, Korean War, Civil Rights Movement, the assassination of JFK. Is there anything that sticks out to you?
Well, definitely the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't really fully understand it and grasp it until after it was all over and behind us, and we were already married. But that became the most important thing, historical thing, in our life. And then we had some favorite, like Franklin Delano Roosevelt,
mm-hmm.
a favorite president of the Jews and so on. And the neighborhood was all Jewish, and the schools were like 90% Jewish, so you felt very, very much at home where we lived.
Last one.
How would you like to be remembered?
Do you hear her?
Oh, as what?
How would you like to be remembered?
Well, I would like to be remembered as somebody that tried to do the best for his wife and her family, as her parents. And of course, without saying, that he tried to do the best for his children. both in terms of guidance and advice, so on.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right. You sure?
And that was.